Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. Authorities describing the police video, calling it appalling and criminal. Five former police officers now charged with murder in Memphis. The officers surrendering to authorities accused of viciously beating Tyree Nichols after he ran from a traffic stop near his home. He later died in the hospital. Graphic body camera video expected, and the police chief calling it inhumane. Tonight, President Biden calling for calm, and Elwin Lopez is in Memphis. Also tonight, the one-time prominent attorney, husband, and father on trial for the murders of his wife and son. Alec Murdoch sobbing in court today what an officer described when arriving at the house, Eva Pilgrim, in that courtroom. In New York City, the verdict tonight in the terror attack, that truck plowing into a bike trail full of people along the Hudson. Aaron Katursky reporting. Also breaking, there is news coming in late today. U.S. Special Operations Forces killing a top ISIS leader during a daring ground raid. Martha Raddatz and what she's learned. The war in Ukraine tonight, 24 hours after the U.S. said it would send Abrams tanks to Ukraine. Germany and NATO countries sending tanks as well. Russia unleashing a deadly strike, some 80 missiles and drones. Former Trump cabinet member Elaine Chao publicly condemning former President Trump tonight for his racist insults against her. She says his words say more about him than Asian Americans in this country. John Carl tonight. The National Archives now asking former presidents and vice presidents and their offices to check their personal records for classified documents, going back to the personal office of former President Reagan. Mary Bruce at the White House. A driver tonight facing charges accused of intentionally smashing his pickup right into this police station. An asteroid flyby tonight, just how close to Earth? And the American scientists forming a human chain to save a dolphin. And you'll see it right here, America Strong.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night. And we begin tonight with five former Memphis police officers now charged with murder and the death of Tyree Nichols after that traffic stop 19 days ago. At the center of this case now, their own body camera video of the traffic stop. Tonight, the director of the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, after watching the recording, saying it's absolutely appalling. This was wrong. This was criminal. Police Chief C.J. Davis calling it a failing of basic humanity. The five men seen in their police department photos right here were fired last week, accused of using excessive force. Tonight, they have now turned themselves in. They have now all been booked. 29-year-old Tyree Nichols was pulled over for alleged reckless driving just yards from his home. Authorities say officers used pepper spray. He fled and was confronted again. This is how his parents found him in the hospital. He died 3 days later. The family says the officers brutally beat him. Tonight, Memphis authorities say the video will be released sometime tomorrow night. They are urging calm. So is the family of Tyree Nichols, and so is President Biden tonight. ABC's Elwin Lopez leading us off in Memphis.
Tonight, five former Memphis police officers facing murder charges in the death of Tyree Nichols.
While each of the five individuals played a different role in the incident in question, the actions of all of them resulted in the death of Tyree Nichols, and they are all responsible.
The five former officers charged with second-degree murder, aggravated kidnapping, and assault, among other crimes.
Under the laws of Tennessee, second-degree murder is a knowing killing.
Police say Nichols was pulled over for alleged reckless driving on the night of January 7th.
I have one running on foot.
According to the district attorney, after an initial altercation with police, pepper spray was deployed. Nichols then fleeing. He was confronted again, resulting in serious injuries. Memphis police saying Nichols complained of having a shortness of breath, at which time an ambulance was called to the scene. The 29-year-old critically injured, dying 3 days later. The family commissioning an independent autopsy. Their attorney stating preliminary findings show Nichols suffered extensive bleeding caused by severe beating. At this time, that autopsy has not been publicly disclosed, and ABC News has not seen it. Two Memphis Fire Department personnel involved in treating Nichols were, quote, relieved of duty while an internal investigation is being conducted. Those five officers, all part of the department's street crime unit, known as Scorpion, fired after an internal investigation concluded they, quote, violated multiple department policies, including excessive use of force, duty to intervene, and duty to render aid.
This is not just a professional failing.
This is a failing of basic humanity toward another individual. This incident was heinous, reckless, and inhumane.
The director of the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation speaking today.
Frankly, I'm shocked. I'm sickened by what I saw. I've seen the video. You will too. In a word, it's absolutely appalling.
Nichols' mother unable to watch the full video.
He was less than 80 yards away when they murdered him. Yes, I said murdered.
That's right.
My son died on January 7th. The doctors pulled the plug on January 10th.
And tonight, attorneys for the family stating that these five officers being held criminally accountable for their deadly and brutal actions gives us hope as we continue to push for justice for Tyree. Attorneys for two of the former officers, Desmond Mills Jr. and Emmett Martin, saying their clients intend to plead not guilty.
No one out there that night intended for Tyree Nichols to die.
Elwin Lopez with us live in Memphis tonight. And Elwin, we know that President Biden and officials right there in Memphis all urging calm before the release of this, what's expected to be very disturbing video.
Yeah, that's right, David. The president is joining Tyree's family and calling for peaceful protests, stating that violence is never acceptable. The DA here says there's about an hour of body camera and surveillance footage that will be released tomorrow night. And David, police from Memphis to D.C. all bracing for protests. David.
All right. Let's hope for calm for sure. Elwin Lopez leading us off. Thank you. And now tonight, the case making national headlines. The first witnesses taking the stand in the trial of Alec Murdoch, the once prominent South Carolina attorney accused of murdering his own wife and son. The officer on what he saw when he got there. Murdoch breaking down in tears in court today. Jurors seeing officers' body camera video and difficult crime scene photos. Murdoch at times appearing distraught in court, and ABC's Eva Pilgrim in the courtroom from Wattleboro, South Carolina tonight.
For the first time, jurors in the trial of Alec Murdoch saw police body cam from the moment officers arrived on the family's property where Murdoch's wife, Maggie, and son, Paul, had been shot to death. That video shielded from public view, but the first officer describing the grisly scene.
The male victim laying on the ground to my left, as well as the female victim on the ground to my right. There was a large deal of blood that had pooled around his body. Same thing for the female victim on the right.
Alec Murdoch appearing distraught in the courtroom, but that officer testifying when he met Murdoch at the crime scene that night, he wasn't crying.
Did you ever see any tears in your interactions with Mr. Murdoch?
He did not appear to be crying. He was upset, but I did not see any visible tears.
In that body cam, Murdoch can be heard immediately offering an explanation for the shootings, telling police that they were related to a 2019 boat crash that killed one of Paul's friends, for which Paul was facing charges.
This is a long story. My son was in a boat wreck. He's been getting threats. Most of it's been benign stuff we didn't take serious. Okay. He's been getting, punched. That's what it is.
Who brought up the boat incident?
Mr. Murdoch did.
And within a few minutes of you arriving, he's the one that brought up the boat incident. Is that
he did.
Correct? And he offered that right out of the gate as a possible explanation for what happened here. Is that right?
Yes.
Murdoch repeatedly asking about his wife and son.
Did you check them?
We got medical guys that are, that's what they're going to do, okay?
What are they doing? Can they hurry?
They are. Yes, sir.
They are dead on
that. Yes, sir. That's what it looks like.
The defense today hammering away at the possibility police compromised evidence at the crime scene.
You would agree with me, one of the cardinal rules of a crime scene is keep it pristine. Don't walk over things. Try to preserve tire tracks. Get pictures of them. Footprints. All those sorts of things.
But officers defending their investigation that night.
Are you aware that any evidence was contaminated in this case?
I'm not.
Did you engage in everything you could to avoid contaminating evidence?
Yes.
And the jury paying close attention to every detail, many of them having a visible reaction to what they saw. And you could tell that several of those jurors were having a difficult time viewing those images. David.
All right. Eva Pilgrim, who was in that courtroom today for us. Eva, thank you. Here in New York City tonight, a guilty verdict in an ISIS-inspired truck attack on Halloween 5 years ago, the deadliest terror attack in New York since 9/11. The suspect accused of driving this truck down a bike path, killing 8 people and injuring many more in order to gain entry to ISIS. That same jury will now decide whether he deserves the death penalty. Here's our senior investigative reporter, Aaron Kutursky, tonight.
On Halloween 2017, prosecutors said Saifullo Saipov turned a bike path into his battlefield, killing eight people, six of them foreign tourists, running them down over 20 blocks with a truck on New York's west side. And tonight, after 6 hours of deliberations, a federal jury agreed, finding the Uzbek native guilty of murder and attempted murder in order to gain entry into ISIS.
This is a mass casualty situation here.
Prosecutors showed the jury this video of the moment the police moved in, Saipov holding two fake guns, police taking him down. They told the court had he not crashed into that school bus, he would have continued the rampage. Over the 11-day trial, jurors heard emotional testimony from families of the victims. Saipov all but confessed, his lawyer conceding the deadliest terror attack in New York since 9/11 was not an accident, he did it intentionally. But that wasn't to join ISIS, he wanted to die a martyr. The jury finding Saipov guilty on all 28 counts, several of them make him eligible for the death penalty. Any decision to execute Saipov would have to be unanimous. There have been no federal executions under President Biden, who campaigned against the death penalty. David, the penalty phase of this case starts here at court early next month. David.
Our investigative reporter, Aaron Kutursky, tonight. Aaron, thank you. There is also late word tonight that U.S. Special Operations Forces have taken down an ISIS leader along with several ISIS fighters, killing 10 of them, including that leader, in Somalia. All part of a daring raid. Let's get right to our chief global affairs correspondent, Martha Raddatz, tonight. And Martha, what have you learned?
David, this was a dramatic and risky ground raid by U.S. Special Operations Forces that the Pentagon says ended with the death of at least 10 ISIS fighters, including Bilal al-Sudani, who is said to be a top ISIS leader and organizer. President Biden authorized the raid that had been planned for weeks. The military had done practice runs and mock-ups of the target area, similar to what was done for the bin Laden raid. But the target last night was a cave complex in northern Somalia. The special operations team descended on the complex from helicopters and then were engaged in a firefight with the ISIS fighters. But fortunately, David, no U.S. forces were killed in the raid and returned safely to base. David?
That is extraordinary news. All right, Martha, thank you. Out of the war in Ukraine tonight, and just 24 hours after the U.S. promised it would send those Abrams tanks, Germany and NATO allies then saying they would send Leopard tanks as well. Well, tonight, Russia unleashing a blistering missile and drone attack. Tonight, our team with rare access inside a military field hospital near the front lines. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge inside Ukraine again tonight.
Tonight, Russian missiles spreading terror across Ukraine. The Kremlin launching around 70 missiles and lethal Iranian drones. Ukraine saying it shot down 47 of the missiles and all 17 drones, but the attacks still killing 11 people. Putin lashing out after the US and its allies pledged advanced tanks to Ukraine. The race now on to get new NATO weaponry onto the battlefield, with Russia pounding the eastern city of Bakhmut in a brutal battle which is claiming countless Russian lives. But the cost heavy for Ukraine too. Blood-stained stretchers outside this military field hospital. Our team getting rare access inside.
This soldier's been rushed back from the fighting. He's got a neck wound. They're now trying to stabilize his injury. The medics here before he's taken on to another medical facility nearby.
Dozens of wounded soldiers rushed here every day, and some of them cannot be saved.
People are dying every day.
Yeah.
Lots of people.
Yeah, it shouldn't be like that.
David, the fighting here in the east is brutal. We've been hearing the constant boom of artillery all day. You can hear the air raid siren now. And tonight, Germany saying its advanced tanks won't reach this battle zone until the end of March. In the coming weeks, this war is expected to escalate again. David?
Tom Sufi Burridge and our team there in Ukraine. Please stay safe, Tom. Thank you. Back here at home tonight, a one-time cabinet member for former President Trump responding to the former president's racist words. Former Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao breaking her silence after a series of racist insults. She says Trump's words say more about him than Asian Americans in this country. Here's our chief Washington correspondent, Jonathan Carl, tonight.
For months, Donald Trump has taunted his former Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao with a series of racist insults, calling her Coco Chow and the China-loving wife of Mitch McConnell, the top Republican in the Senate. At first, Chow, who also served as labor secretary for George W. Bush and was the first Asian American woman to serve in a presidential cabinet, brushed off the crude insults.
He's trying to get a rise out of us. He says all sorts of outrageous things, and I don't make a point of answering any one of them.
Now she is hitting back, issuing a statement saying, quote, "When I was young, some people deliberately misspelled or mispronounced my name. Asian Americans have worked hard to change that experience for the next generation." Adding, "Trump doesn't seem to understand that, which says a whole lot more about him than it will ever say about Asian Americans." Chow served in Trump's cabinet for almost the entirety of his presidency, only resigning after he provoked the January 6th attack on the Capitol, saying it, quote, "deeply troubled me in a way I simply cannot set aside." For months, Chow has ignored the former president's crude insults, but when he did it again this week, she decided enough was enough. David, she had to respond.
John Carl tonight. John, thank you. Now to the uproar over classified documents. And tonight, the National Archives is now reaching out, asking all former presidents and vice presidents to check again their personal records for any classified documents, going back as far as the office of former President Ronald Reagan. Here's Mary Bruce now.
Tonight, the National Archives is asking former presidents and vice presidents to comb through their papers and make sure they, too, don't have any classified documents. In a letter sent to representatives for presidents going all the way back to Ronald Reagan, the archives asked them to ensure they didn't inadvertently hold on to official documents, writing the responsibility to comply with the Presidential Records Act does not diminish after the end of an administration.
People need to be conscious of the rules regarding classified information and appropriate handling of them. Those rules are there for a reason.
It comes 2 days after former Vice President Mike Pence revealed he recently found classified documents at his Indiana home, even though he told David in November he had none.
Let me ask you, as we sit here in your home office in Indiana, did you take any classified documents with you from the White House?
I did not.
His former boss, President Trump, brought hundreds of classified documents to Mar-a-Lago and resisted handing them over to authorities, leading the FBI to get a warrant. And last week, the FBI searched President Biden's Delaware home after classified material was found in his garage and former private office.
Now, we have reached out to these former presidents, and the offices for Presidents Obama and Clinton tell us that all of their classified material was properly turned in. Tonight, the office for President George W. Bush, responding to these new requests from the archives, tells us they, quote, remain confident that no such material are in their possession. David.
All right, Mary Bruce. Thank you, Mary. Now to the economy tonight and the nation's output of goods and services. The GDP grew 2.9% during the last 3 months of 2022, better than expected, and 2.1% for the year. The economy still growing despite high inflation. When we come back here tonight, a driver facing charges accused of intentionally smashing his truck into a police station. You'll see it here. And we're told the small asteroid that is buzzing right past Earth tonight. So how close? In a moment.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, a driver is facing an attempted murder charge for crashing his pickup truck right into a police station in Grand Junction, Colorado. This surveillance showing the truck smashing through those metal doors right into the lobby. Officers quickly surrounding the truck, arresting the driver. No word tonight on what was behind this.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking in that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
To the index and that small asteroid coming close to Earth tonight, NASA releasing this animation. That's not it. That's video from previously. But we do have animation of the asteroid about the size of a box truck, they say, passing about 2,200 miles above Earth, one of the closest approaches on record. There it is, passing within the orbit of some satellites, in fact. Apologize for the snafus there. Tonight in Clearwater, Florida, just outside Tampa, the amazing rescue. The team at Clearwater Marine Aquarium learning a young dolphin had somehow lost its way from the ocean and was stuck in a small creek for 3 weeks. The scientists first monitoring the dolphin, then coming up with a remarkable plan. A team of 28 biologists forming a human chain, creating a visual and sound barrier, coaxing the dolphin out. Brittany Baldria is the senior rescue biologist.
Our main goal was just to create a straight line across from us. So we were shoulder to shoulder, no gaps.
The only way out, a small opening under a bridge. Andy Garrett with Fish and Wildlife on the boat right behind that human chain.
Just kind of encouraging it that, you know, this is not where you want to be. The noise from trucks and cars going over the bridge is a sound barrier for the dolphin. It doesn't want to leave the area.
The team slowly, carefully moving in, splashing the water closer and closer to the opening. And finally.
Did he go, you guys? He went? Yeah. He went through!
It worked. Right here tonight.
Hello, David.
That senior rescue biologist on the moment.
It was very exciting. Once we got to the end, it finally made the decision to swim underneath the bridge and was through onto the other side.
She tells us the dolphin is now safely back out to sea after the scientists and that human chain coming to the rescue. Back out to sea, no small victory. Great to see. I'm David Muir. Have a good evening. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking in that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.